Hey guys, good morning, good morning, good morning. So today's message, we are in part three of our Kingdom Menace to Society series, and I am so excited about today's message. I don't believe this will be a long message, but I believe it will definitely be in.
Open us up in prayer, and once again, thank you guys for joining the Alpha Talk Tuesday podcast, where we are here to connect, empower, and inspire the mind of mind to pursue a life of greatness. So thank you all for joining today. I want to open us up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for your peace, love, and joy. Thank you for showing us how to walk in humility, how to walk in peace, how to focus on you, how to let your will be done in our lives. Lord, I pray that we understand that we were not born for ourselves, but for others, to be able to minister, to be able to love, to be able to display your works. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit that we live, move, and have our being. Lord, I pray that the peace of God be upon everyone that hears this message right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will encourage them, build them up, and show them your power. Your name is worthy of all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, I want to thank all of you for joining today. Thank you. So, as you know, we are in a series titled Kingdom Menace to Society. This is the third installment of this series, and this will be our final part in this series. As you know, I'm just going to do a brief recap on the first two parts. So the first part, we talked about how true ministers of God are sent, not went. And what we meant by that is God sends people to preach his word. He sends those who are called to minister. No one can just minister in their own authority. True ministers of God are sent, not went. Then we went back to the beginning. That was the title of part two, Back to the Beginning. We touched on the process that God has for designing, how he is always crafting, he's always designing, he's always forming, he's always in process, he's always working. And we talked about how in the beginning, the Lord imagined man was created in the mind of God first, and then God formed him and breathed life into him, making him a living being. So that was part two, and we talked about how the purpose of God's creation, us, is to bring fruitfulness to the earth, to bring restoration. This is the reason why you are called, you are a minister of God, because you're destroying the works of the devil, and your presence is bringing fruitfulness back to the earth. Fruitfulness meaning productivity, God's plan, God's purpose. Your presence is doing that. Which leads us to today's message, which is part three of the series, and we're closing out, this message today is titled, Fruit is Supposed to Feed. Fruit is supposed to feed. So, the main point I want us to focus on today is understanding what the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit is. So, I'm going to go right to Galatians chapter 5, and I will start at Galatians chapter 5. Okay, hold on one second, guys. Okay, so I'll just go ahead and go to what I have in my notes. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So I want to pause right there for a moment. So as you can see from Galatians chapter 5, these are the marks of a believer. These are the visible marks of a true child of God that has the Holy Spirit. So as Paul is indicating here in Galatians, he's sharing how those who have the Holy Spirit in their lives and are allowing him to lead their lives display these types of characteristics: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the attributes of those who have the Holy Spirit. Now, as children of God, of course, we will have tests, we will have trials, we will have battles. But ultimately, we have to understand that there is fruit that is being produced from those trials. There is a way of being that is being presented as you progress through these trials. Now, what happens is a lot of us as children of God get discouraged because we don't understand that the fruit that is being produced in our lives is not for us. So I'm going to challenge your ideology today regarding what you think your joy is for. So you know how in Nehemiah, I believe it's chapter 6, I'm not 100% sure, but in Nehemiah, one of the scriptures that I had misunderstood for so long was this. There's a scripture that says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So I've heard that quote, that line quoted so much, and I always thought of it as basically saying that the joy of God is my strength. Basically meaning that I pulled on to his joy rather than my own. But in reality, when I got a deep understanding on it, which the Lord had actually allowed me to have just a few days ago, was when it says the joy of the Lord is my strength, what it's basically saying is what makes God happy is what gives me strength. So one of the things that makes God happy is what? Obedience. It's what? Loving others. It's what? Loving him. These are the things that bring joy to God. So when I heard that scripture and had it explained in that way, it brought even more clarity into why God is joyful. He's joyful when we obey him, when we love others, when we love him, when we follow his directions. And what becomes our strength, what gives us empowerment, is seeing a smile on his face. So I want you to think of it like this. Like, just imagine as a child, and you knew that there were certain things that just made your dad happy. For example, let's say your dad loved coffee, and he liked the coffee made a certain type of way. So you learned the way that he loved to have the coffee made, and you made it exactly the way he wanted it made. And every time you gave it to him, it was a smile on his face because you gave it to him the same way that he requested it each and every time. And whenever he told you he wanted something, you did it for him. This makes him joyful. This brings a smile to his face. This brings him excitement. And that becomes the empowerment, the encouragement for you to keep doing things to make him happy. So in reality, when we hear the scripture, "The joy of the Lord is my strength," it's not saying that you just take hold of Jesus's joy. It's basically saying that that you find strength by making God happy. Let me repeat that again. You find your strength by making God happy. You do the things that please him. You turn the other cheek. You walk away when people are trying to belittle you or talk down to you. You walk away, or you patiently endure it for the sake of the kingdom of God. Or you choose to serve someone who you feel is not appreciative of you, but you stay there because the Lord is using you to minister and love on them and to show them stability. So anyway, just to kind of give you some context on joy is something that we find by doing what pleases God. So it's that joy, that strength that you get to please him. It's by having in mind the doing the things that please him. So anyway, continuing on. So going back to Galatians chapter 5, we talked about the fruit. Now, I'm challenging your ideology, and the reason I'm saying that is because a lot of us have thought that the fruit of the Spirit is something that you do. We think that the fruit of the Spirit is something that we do, that we are forcing out of us. But I want you to pay attention. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 again. Verses 22 through 23. I want you to pay attention to this, right? So it says, again, starting in verse 22, but the Holy Spirit, not you, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So understand, beloved child of God, that you cannot produce these things. You are human. I am human. I cannot manufacture love. I cannot manufacture joy. I cannot manufacture peace. I can only take hold of what is in me by allowing Him to be made manifest through me. I can only allow who is in me, who is in you, you can only allow Him to be who He is. And the more that you decide to get out of the way, the more that people will be able to grab hold of these things from your life. So you cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who produces the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot, let me just go through this really quick. I want to give you a definition of produces, because I really want us to understand what this word really means. Hold on 1 second. Because you cannot manufacture, fruit. The fruit is a byproduct of someone in you. So, when we even go to the King James Version for Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it doesn't even have the word produce. It just literally says, but the fruit of the Spirit is XYZ. So when we go to the word fruit, I want you to pay attention to this. So these are some of the definitions of fruit. The fruit of the tree, vine of the field, the fruit of one's loins, his progeny, his posterity, basically his reproductive ability, or that which originates or comes from something, an effect, result, work, act, deed, advantage, profit, utility, praises which are presented to God as a thank offering, to gather fruit into life eternal. Discourse of those who by their labors have fitted souls to obtain eternal life. So it's continuing on. So understand that you, as a child of God, it doesn't matter how wise, how articulate you are, you cannot produce what God desires without God doing it through you. I used to always think, when I read this scripture, Galatians 5:22, I thought that it was my job to be full of love. It was my job to be full of joy, peace, patience, kindness. May I challenge you today to see that you cannot produce these things. You can only allow them to be made manifest through you, through the Holy Spirit, by allowing God to live through you. So, being that the title of this message today is Fruit is Supposed to Be, understand that the fruit that is produced through you is not for you. Let me repeat that again. The fruit that is produced through you is not for you. The reason why these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I think I said goodness twice. But goodness, gentleness, and self-control, so forth. The reason why these things are produced through you is for God's purposes. So how many times have we been frustrated when we felt like someone was taking advantage of us? How many times have we been frustrated when we felt like people constantly were trying to use us and do things, and we were being overlooked or overshadowed or being whatever we felt was happening to us? How many times have we felt like we were being used? How many times have we felt like we were being ignored? How many times have we felt like someone didn't appreciate us? May I challenge you today and get you to think of what is being produced through you. The things that are being produced through you are not for you. So yes, there are times where someone will mistreat you and you will feel as though you're being taken advantage of. May I let you see today that it's possible that your fruit is being consumed. The tree of life that is being produced by the power of the Holy Spirit through you, through your obedience to God, is bringing life to others. So yes, child of God, the fruit that is coming from you is for other people. Let me say that again. The fruit that is coming through you, which is by the power of the Holy Spirit, is for other people. This is the reason why some people are still alive. This is the reason why some people are progressing. It's because they are eating the fruit that is being produced through the Holy Spirit off of you. So they're eating some kindness off of you. They're eating some joy off of you. They're eating some peace off of you. Patience, kindness, these fruit of the Spirit, these are the things that are being produced through you, but they're for other people. It's for the advancement of the kingdom. So the reason why the Lord Jesus says to turn the other cheek is not necessarily so that you can just be taken advantage of, but he's trying to share with you that there is something happening spiritually that you can't see. You feel like people are taking advantage of you. You feel like people are getting over. But what you don't see is that there is a transaction in the spirit where there is an impartation of God's life that is enabling these people, whether you realize it or not, to keep moving on, to grow in the spirit. But you don't see that. All you feel is your fruit being consumed, being taken off of the tree. And you don't see the people growing. You don't see the mission advancing. You're not seeing it. And this is the reason why we have to pray for God's eyes. We have to pray for God's heart so that we'll be able to see people growing, that we'll be able to see ourselves growing, that we will be able to understand why we had to go through certain seasons. A lot of the times we just get frustrated and we get aggravated, not even knowing that we are progressing in the spirit. There are certain people that are still alive because you are choosing to stand. But the enemy will not try to show you that. He won't show you the fruit of your obedience. He won't show you that. All he'll do is keep you focused on the pain that you feel and the disappointment. But he won't show you how there are people who are still standing because of you, because you're not seeing that transaction in the spirit where the fruit is being consumed off of you, but it's imparting life to others. Others are eating the fruit of the Spirit off of you. So if you, child of God, hinder and quench the Spirit, you are actually hindering the work of the Father in the earth. So I want to challenge you today to look at it differently. The fruit of the Spirit is not for you. There are people that you are connected to that you don't even realize you're eating fruit off of them. There are people who are ministering to you, and you're eating fruit off of them. You don't see it. You just enjoy their presence. You just enjoy their messages. You just enjoy their ministry. You just enjoy their gifts. You don't even realize that you are consuming their fruit, the fruit of the Spirit off of them. So we are all eating off of someone. And just because you feel like you are always the one feeding, understand, child of God, that is not true. It is not true. We are all feeding off of someone else. Stay alive. we can let that marinate for a second. This is a way to keep us humble, to realize that we are all subject to God. None of us are above one another. We are all subject to God. So God is using other people's gifts, lives, calling, assignments, and so forth to help you to progress in yours. The reason why you are still standing is because someone else is still standing, and they're allowing their fruit to be consumed. And what this looks like naturally is you spend time with a certain person, Jesus. You spend time with a certain person, and you came with a heavy burden on your back, and you spend time with this person, and all of a sudden, when you leave their presence, you feel lighter, you feel more encouraged, you feel more empowered, you're thinking different. What you don't notice is that there was a transaction in the spirit. Something happened. Something happened. There was fruit that was consumed. But if you, as a child of God, don't understand these things, you will not be intentional about looking for the growth. So you have to look for the growth when you know that there are things happening in your life and you have experienced certain rejection or certain treatment. I want you to start to think about what was the Lord using you for in that moment. So, and I'm pretty much done here. I just want to encourage you, just really think about what the Lord is using your life to bring life to. Because remember, last message we talked about, you are bringing fruitfulness to the earth. The Spirit of the God is producing fruit in the earth because of you. And He is continuing to increase. So I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Pay attention to this. So it says, so then, since Christ suffered.
Phone call completed.
Since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude He had and be ready to suffer too. I'm going to pause there really quickly for a second. When you hear the word suffer, it usually is referring to bearing loads. When you look up the word suffer, it means to bear loads. Bear loads. So when you're suffering, don't think of it as just pain. Don't just think of it as someone doing something to you. The word suffer usually means to bear a load. So continuing on. So it says, for if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. So anyway, in closing, understand, like I just mentioned, child of God, that the fruit that is consumed by others off of you is for other people's growth. It's for God's advancement. It's for God's kingdom to advance. For God's advancement. So you are never being taken advantage of. You have never been taken advantage of if you were being obedient. A lot of the times we're being obedient to God and we're bearing the load, we're enduring hardship, we're enduring mistreatment, and we feel as though God is allowing this to happen. But you don't see what is being produced. So you have to ask the Lord to help you to see the growth in the life that is being imparted to others through you suffering, through you enduring hardship. We just read here, it says that Christ suffered physical pain. And it says that you must arm yourselves with the same attitude He had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, it says that you have finished with sin. So child of God, you can choose, to do one of two things, right? We can choose to be double-minded and still have our way and still be sinful, get angry at people, curse people out, and always feel like people are trying to take advantage of us and just do things our way. And we could continue to live a life of sin where we're not 100% committed to being what God called us to be. We can choose to do that. But it says right here, 1 Peter, that if we want to be like Christ, we have to have the same mindset that He had. Because He never sinned. He was completely angered by it. sin angered him. And this is the reason why he was willing to suffer so that we would not have to continue to deal with it. This is the reason why he was willing to suffer so that we would not have to continue to have that stronghold, to have that way of thinking, to have that infirmity, to have that illness, whatever it was. The Lord was willing to die and experience pain, trauma, and all of that so that we could be set free. So you, child of God, want to think of it that same way when you are enduring hardship, when your fruit is being consumed by others. I want you to think of what is happening in these people's lives. Think about how they are being imparted to, how they are being able to be strengthened in their walk with God. Yes, it may take them a little longer than you may have imagined, but what is being built in them is eternal, has eternal value. The Lord is not developing temporary structures. He's building permanent, eternal structures. So every time the Lord allows you to go through something and you feel as though your fruit is being consumed, understand that it has eternal value. The things that you are going through have eternal value. It's not just for this life. Everything that you're doing, when you are doing it for the King, when you are doing it to advance His kingdom, you are doing it for eternal value. So I want you to think of your decisions today. They have eternal consequences. So we want to start to be really intentional about the way we treat people, the people that we associate with. And like, we really have to be about our Father's business. We want to really think about, how does this decision that I do now, how does this affect me and as well as the nations eternally? We don't want to just think of 5 years from now, 10 years from now. What this decision I'm making right now, today, whether it's to start a ministry or to write a book or whatever it is, I want us to think of the eternal weight of what we're doing. Because understand, child of God, and I'm pretty much done here, we are not going to heaven to stay there. We are going to heaven. We'll be there for a moment, but we're coming right back down to earth, because it says that God is establishing a new heaven and a new earth. Humans were meant to be on earth. We were meant to rule and to thrive on earth. So the kingdoms, whatever the books that you're writing now, the ministries that you're doing now, the songs, poems, whatever it is, it's not only for this world. It is also preparing this world for the world to come. So where you, like, think about where you'll be 1,000 years from now. You want to start to think of these things. Start to think of these things. And in closing, the fruit that is being produced through you by the Holy Spirit is not for you. It is for God's purposes. It is for others. So be discouraged when you go through trials. God is using you. Don't be discouraged when you suffer loss. God is using you. You have experienced things and you have felt as though you were being used. Yes, some things you were being used. Some things were just poor decisions, but some things you were being used, and the Lord is using you to bring fruitfulness to the earth. He is using you to bring life to the earth. He is using you to bring life to His people. So be encouraged, child of God. The fruit is supposed to feed. So with that being said, guys, I thank all of you for joining today. I pray that you have more understanding on the purpose of being a kingdom minister. You are here to bring fruit to the earth. You are here to bring restoration. You are here to display the works of the Lord. So it is no longer just about you. It is about the works of the Lord. It is about His kingdom being made manifest. Your life is allowing His kingdom to be made manifest. No matter what assignment it is, it's small or large, your presence is bringing fruitfulness to the earth. So be encouraged, guys. I thank all of you for joining today. I pray that this message blessed you and that you have more insight on why you are here and why you've experienced certain things. And I pray that you're able to just see things a little bit differently, because the fruit is not for you. It's supposed to feed. have a good days, and remember, have a good day, and remember that you are out. Hey guys, thank you for tuning into the podcast today. This is the Alpha Talk Tuesday podcast, held every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to you joining us next week. Have a wonderful day, and remember that you are alpha.